Our relationship with God is a positional one, not an emotional one. Is a positional situation, not an emotional one. The joy and the peace we have as Christians is based on the position we have as being part of the body of Christ. It's not how we feel. We can feel lousy. We can feel achy and sore. But that doesn't change our position, and it's our faith is based on our position in Christ. Paul knew this well. In verse 9 of the reading this morning, that he states he was persecuted, but he was not forsaken. He was struck down, but not destroyed. And this literally happened to Paul in Lystra, when the crowd stoned him and left him for dead. Stoning was an experience that people didn't survive from. But he was not destroyed. He was not killed. The Lord spared his life so he could continue to preach and proclaim the gospel. This is why he tells them, do not lose heart. Now, that's, can you see all that? It looks really, can't read it on the back there. But this is what he says, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, though outwardly, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our, and he called it in light afflictions in some of the earlier translations. This is why he tells them, because God will raise them up, raise us up with Jesus. God will raise up with Jesus those who have given their hearts and their minds to him. We do not lose heart because even though we are all getting older, we're being inwardly renewed by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. If we focus our lives on the future that waits us, we will not lose heart, for we will have the power to endure any kind of trouble this world may throw at us. We are blessed in New Zealand that at this time, we are not facing the persecution that many of our brothers and sisters in Christ are facing in other places around the world. This is why we must fervently pray for those of the body of Christ who face persecution daily, that they will not lose heart. It's interesting in verse 17, Paul regards the persecution he faced, how he regarded it. He had been beaten and stoned and imprisoned, and there was even a rumor that he'd been tossed in with a wild bear. He describes this as a light affliction, which he says is but for a moment. Paul regarded these afflictions light not only because they paled into insignificance in light of the glory that awaited him, but also because of his confidence in that God, who said he would never leave him nor forsake him, God had promised, God has not promised to keep us from hard times, but he has promised to see us through them. He has not promised to keep us from illness or hardship, but he has promised to walk with us through these times. We need to remember that our Saviour endured severe affliction when he died for us on the cross. And he endured the greatest affliction in being separated from the Father and the Holy Spirit when he took my sins, your sins, on himself. Our hardships in this life are but for a moment in the light of eternity. They are light. In the eternal glory we will receive. By focusing on the future, the trials of the moment are little. A proper focus on our glorious future with Christ will empower us to face any kind of trouble. We, however, are still mortal, still victims of circumstances, still a mortal body with all its weaknesses. As Paul said, we have these treasures in jars of clay or earthen vessels. The precious treasure of the power of God is within us. All of us can look at those times in our lives when the walk has been hard, but we all need to keep the promise of glory that awaits for us at the finish line. We may be at our wits' end, but we are never at hope's end while we have the presence of Christ within us. Now, I don't know how many of you ever run a marathon. You'll know what I'm talking about. There was a time, the marathon is, for those of you who are older, it was 26 miles, 385 yards, or for these days, 42.195 kilometres. There's a time late in the race, about the 32-kilometre mark, when the body starts to experience the effects of dehydration, depletion of glucose, sore legs and weariness. Yet, by focusing on the last 10 kilometres and the finish of the race drives you on. Arthur Lydiard used to say that any marathon you finish is a successful marathon. For what happens at the end, you find that the runners tend to stand around and talk about the race, the parts of the race that they found easy, parts that they found hard, and very soon all the sweating and the pain and the aching is forgotten. All are winners who cross the finish line. And the interesting thing is, you can get a group, you can have someone who's run 2.5 hour marathon, someone who's run a 4.5 hour marathon, but you all won because you have crossed that finish line. So in the marathon journey of our Christian walk, we need to concentrate on the unseen eternity that awaits us. As a tent maker by trade, it is natural that Paul would refer to our bodies as a tent, a temporary dwelling. These bodies of ours, they age, they ache, they atrophy. But the glorified bodies of the redeemed, which we will receive, are eternal. William Barclay wrote that from a physical point of view, life may be a slow, inevitable, slipping down the slope that leads to death. But from a spiritual point of view, life is climbing up the hill that leads to the presence of God. We need not fear the years, for they bring us not nearer to death, but nearer to God. Those whom we have loved and have died, their bodies are still in the grave. But there is a day coming. A day coming when Christ is going to come for his church. And this is what Paul wrote in Corinthians, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In the moment, in a twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. But the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and this mortal will put on incorruption. Have you ever stopped to think about that in a twinkling of an eye? That's about a thousandth of a second. That's how quick it's going to be. And Paul also told the church in Thessalonica, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, Paul says, comfort one another with these words. There's a great old hymn that we used to sing years ago, very popular when I was a boy growing up in Hamilton. I don't know if it was sung in the Presbyterian Church, but it was very popular in the Baptist Church, written in about 1900, and it was regarded as the most popular hymn of its era, and it was always sung with great gusto. The first verse starts, when all my labours and trials, who knows it, are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through all the ages be glory for me. And the chorus is, oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me, when by his grace I shall look on his face, that will be glory for me. I reckon one day we're going to have to sing that song here. It's a hymn. It's a beautiful hymn. What will our resurrected bodies look like? I don't know, but I do know that they're going to be absolutely perfect. No more achy joints. No more unwanted wrinkles. No need for glasses. Gosh, we will, you know, that we will run like a deer, My coach, Barry McGee, I don't know if you know him, that name means anything to you. Fine Christian guy, Barry. He was bronze medal winner for the marathon at the Rome Olympics. And he used to say to us when we were out running, you know, when we get to heaven, we're all going to be able to run like Peter Snell. And we used to say to him, well, what will be the fun of that? Because we'll all start and finish at the same time. And I'm sure you're looking forward to your bodies as we spend eternity in his presence. Those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, those who have entered into that personal relationship with him, have that promise and that hope of what heaven. Now, I don't know what heaven is going to be like. In fact, when Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 2 and 9, it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor really has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. We can't really imagine what heaven's going to be like. Dr. David Jeremiah said, for us to think about the very, very best day we've ever had in our lives, the day when we were the happiest, the day when it was just absolutely the best. He said the worst day in heaven, if there's such a thing, will be hundreds of times better than that. What a hope and a promise that we have to look for. This is why we should not lose heart when things get tough, when we're faced with difficulties and trials. Look at what awaits us at the beginning of our future, at the end of this race. As Helen Lemmel wrote, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So friends, do not lose hope. What a future awaits for us. God's richest blessings on you all.